Alright, let's start at the top of Ayin Chet and Aleph on the second line. We have Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Kohen Gadol be'almana lokeshtan. Kohen Gadol that has bia with an almana after Kiddushin, he'll get two sets of malchut. Achat mishum lo yikach. Achat mishum lo yichalel. Right, one problem from lo yikach, which implies one may not have kiddushin, right, lo yikach, between an almana and a kohen gadol. Achad mishum lo yichalel. And one because of the bia itself, which is lo yichalel. V'luch einami mishum lo yichalel zaro. What about the fact that he also violated the lav of lo yichalel zaro? I mean that the ability to produce zera is also a violation of the lav. So it says, v'shlo gamar bi'ato. It's an instance where he didn't finish his bia, so that the psul or the yoyu chalel that generates chidlin by the woman, it's enough to have ara, enough to just start the process of bia. But he needs to violate the yoyu chalel zero. You need zera, so you need a gemar bia in order to violate that third lav. So in the meantime, he's only, unless he has gemar bia, then he would violate the third lav. Otherwise, he only violates the first two lavim. Meiti Bravo, is that really true that there are two lavin associated with these psulei kuna? Almana v'grusha, loke mishum shnei shemot. Right, that a kohen gadol that is involved with an almana who's also a grusha, he gets malchus for two things. So now we think two things means two sets of malchus. Based on what we said now, it should be four sets of malchus, right? It should be lo yikach and lo yichalel for each one of the shemot, for the almana and for the grusha. So when it says, my lav, shnei shemot v'tulo, the two sets of malchus and no more. When it says, lo, shnei shemot al zeh, shnei shemot al zeh. So each isur generates a two lavin, and therefore there's really four, right, the four sets of malchus. Yachi eim ha-seifa, then what are you going to do with the latter part of this, right? So, grusha v'chalutza, ena chayav, ela mishum achat. If it comes to a grusha and a chalutza, he's only chayev one. So again, sounds like one malchus. Really, he should be chayev two, like we just said before. Each lav or isur in the biat kohen brings two lavim with it. So when it says, "Achi kamar inu chayev el achad,"
what is that? What does he get?
All right, so just the going to explain. "Kamar inu chayev el achad." So the olam shnei shemot. Right, that there really is, what do you mean, achat? Achat means, because there means one set of malchus. Right, so that, the reason that you get one set of malchus over here, and not two, is because grusha is midoraita. Chalutza is only midorabona. So when we say achat, we don't mean one malchus, we mean one set of malchus, which is referring to the grusha. So grusha gets in one set of malchus, which is two. And then the chalutza gets in nothing because that's only a isur derabon. Where it says that, is that really true? Atanya, grusha, and the other grusha, chalutza minayin. Right? I know that a grusha is a surah to a kohen. How do we know that a chalutza is a surah to a kohen? Tamadomar v'isha. Right? Isha, grusha, v'isha, doikachu. V'isha, right? That is a pasuk min haTorah. And you're saying that that's the limud for chalitza. How could you suggest that chalitza is midarabonon if I'm using a pasuk min haTorah to learn that up? So when it says midarabonon v'kras machil be'alma, really it's darabonon. The limud amin pasuk is not a real limud, making it a limud right? So it's rather it's a right than a smachta, right? They're just relying, helping the pasuk or using the pasuk to support the either darabonon. So now Abayi and Rav are going to argue about. How can you generate, or when do you generate these two sets of malchus? One malchus refers to the kiddushin, and one refers to the bia, lo yichalel. But how do you get each one of them to be functional? I mean, is it simply enough to get married, have kiddushin, and you violate the law? Or do you need the bia to violate the law? So Amar Bayit.
Being able to be a man,
you violate both. Correct. So Amar Bayit, kiddush, loke. As soon as you do, or generate kiddushin, you get malchus. Baal, then he has bia, loke, then you get your second set of malchus. So, kiddush loke mishum lo yikach. Baal loke mishum lo yichalel. The bia is simple. You have two lavin. One lav says, don't get married. The other lav says, lo yichalel. And so each one will reference the action, right, that it's demanding that you don't do. Right? Lo yitach, so if you do kedushin, you violate that. It says lo yichalel, if you have bi'ah, then you violate that. Rava amar, baloke, lo bal ein aloke. That only once you have bi'ah, are you get malchus. So the kedushin, right, is only problematic if it's followed by a bi'ah. So you have a bi'ah, then you're in violation of both. If you have no bi'ah, then you're not in violation. Mishum dechtiv, lo yikach, v'lo yichalel. Maikam lo yikach. Why can't you get married? Shom lo yichalel. Meaning that the Yitzur of lo yikach is because you will then be michalel. So only once you are michalel are you in violation of the lo yikach. Now the Gemara is going to give three examples of where Abaye and Rava changed their minds or agreed to the other's position. Umode Abaye b'machzir gushato. So this time that he's strong, not a kohen, that a person who is machzir gushato shim kidesh v'lo ba'al she'en aloke. That if he simply gets married, has kiddushin with his former wife, meaning that he divorced his wife, she got married to another individual, and then either she's an amana or gusha from the second marriage, and then he goes and marries her again. That second kiddushin does not generate a lav, right? But only with bia. Why is that? Because it says lakachta liot lo li isha amar rachmana valeka. So it says lekachta, and he's restricted from taking her, which is kiddushin. But lekachta is liot lo li isha. The only time that lekachta is a problem if it's liot lo li isha, ishut or isha is bia. The only time that likuchin are problematic is when there's a bia involved. So even a bia will agree in this case that the violation of the lav will only take place once there is bia.
Well, it's funny. For
in your case, if you have a kohen, then you add additional lav, then you have to look at each lav, assuming that you can get both lavdin on the same woman. You know, whereas Easter motif or Easter chalei Easter, leaving that aside, assuming that you can get both lavdin on the woman, then you'll have to look at each one independently. You have to look at the machzir grushato and then the grusha problem for the kohen, and the bai will have a different opinion in those two instances. Okay. V'mod de Rava. Rava agrees, the kohen gadol ba'amana. That by a kohen gadol to an amanah, shim baal v'lo kidesh shiloke. That if you are boel and do not have kiddushin, that you still get malchus. Why? Because it says lo yichalel zero be'amav aram achmano v'arehu chilel. Meaning that the Torah says that the violation of amanah the kohen gadol is simply that you were michalel this woman, not michalel in the context necessarily of marriage, right? That, but simply that you are mechalal, that you cause her to be chilulin, or that in that case, right? Then you'll see Mother Rav over here, the apagav in general, the beitzur kuna tarte, dafka bia achar kiddushin. Generally, Rav requires you to have bia after kiddushin in order to violate the lavim. That over and therefore, right? Dafka bia achar kiddushin who by the kiddushin lekudai lo laki. Kiddushin by themselves, you wouldn't get malchus for. But
what does Rava say specifically? Kohen gadol now? What
would
the difference
between Kohen Hedet
and
Grusha? Because the pasuk of Lo Yichalel Zero Be'amav is found by Amanala Kohen Gadol. Shnehem Odin. Both in Bayi and Rava agree. V'machzir Grushato. That if he takes back his Grushato, shim bao velo kidesh shein aloke. If he simply has bia without any kiddushin, then there is no malchus. Why? Because it says derech lekuchin asra torah. Because the Torah says lekachta lo liisha. The bia that's asura is only lekachta. If he had the kuchin with her, he had kiddushin with her. If he didn't have kiddushin with her, then the bia standalone does not have any restrictions. So both the bayin and the rav will agree in that case that there is no malchus unless you have kiddushin with her. Rav Yehuda Omer bat ger zachar to bat chalal. So now in our Mishnah we have a machloket about when the child of a ger becomes permissible to the kohanim. So Yehuda says that a bat ger zachar is kebat chalal. That the father is a ger, and even though the mother might be Israeli, right, that doesn't help, and the daughter or the product of such a marriage is still a surah lekuna. Tanya Yehuda Omer bat ger zachar kebat chalal zachar vadin note. It's a kal vachomer machalal sheba mitipak sheira bito psuva. A chlal who comes from a tipak sheira, meaning that the parent of that child came or was a product of a fine marriage, meaning that they were a kosher Jew, no problem. Right? Ger, Sheba mi tipa psula. A ger, on the other hand, whose origins come from quote unquote non Jewish origins, right? They mi tipa psula. Right? No din should be to psula. So certainly his child should be psula. Where it says, what type of kavachomer is this? Mala chalal, sheken yitzirato be'avera. We're talking about a chalal. Chalal is a, his whole existence, his creation was mitoch avera. Kohen gadol be'almana yochiach. A kohen gadol with an almana will be mochiach. She'en yitzirato.
Despite the fact that he's not created through an avera, and he's not a chalal, nevertheless the daughter born of this union of the kohen gadol and the almana, yitzirata be'avera. That comes from a maisa, an action that was an avera.
Nevertheless, pito psula. So Gemara says, Malik Kohen Gadol ba'almana sheken biato avera. Right, fine. That the almana, right, does not, it's not a problem of yitzirato be'avera, but still the biato be'avera, there was an avera that created this problem. So chalal yochiach. Then chalal will prove out the din, in that you'll say, by chalal, which doesn't have the avera, but he was yitzirato be'avera, right, then each one of them will knock off the chumrah, one of them of the Tirato Be'avera, one of them that is Avera, you know, I mean, that was done Ma'aseh Avera, Bia Be'avera. Then Chazer Adin, Lori Zekar Ezeh, Atar Shavish Avench, Enam Berova Kahal, does not apply broadly to all Jews, only applies to Kohanim or Kohen Gadol. Afani Avi Ataguer, Sheno Berova Kahal, it doesn't have, it's not an issue for everyone, right? Ubito Psula, and nevertheless his Mito is, or it should be that is Bito is Psula, that she also is problematic. So the Ger, who is in Yitzirato, right, doesn't have Yitzirato Be'avera, and he's not Ra'ui Lavoda Kaha Bakal, right? So there, since he becomes from a Tipa Psula, and he's not Ra'ui to be in the whole Kahal, so too his daughter should be Psula. It says, when it comes to a halal, there's always a sad avera. Either because yitzirato be'avera, he was created, I mean that his whole existence came out of an avera, or because of the biato be'avera, meaning that there was a bia of avera, so at least there is some sort of avera that's associated with this kohen or with this. So why should be able to prove anything to a ger from this, because there they have no set of avera. Ger has no avera. For a non-Jew to marry a non-Jewess, there is no avera involved in that. So even though he comes from a tipa psula, their marriage is not, there's nothing wrong with their marriage. They didn't do anything wrong. Right? So the Gemara says, so that can't be the, right, that can't be the proof. Lo tema kohen gadol be'amana yochiach. So let's not use kohen gadol be'amana. Ela ema mitzri shon yochiach. And Mitzri Rishon will prove it. Mala Mitzri Rishon, she came in Roi Lavo B'Kaal. Right? A Mitzri Rishon, how can we prove from that? A Mitzri Rishon is not allowed to join the Kaal at all. And Ritzi is restricted from joining the Kaal until the third generation. Whereas a Ger from other nations can join right away. So when it says, Chalal Yochiach, then we'll have from Chalal. Chazar Adin, Lo Roi Zek, Roi Zek, Tzai Shev Rishon, she came Roi B'Kaal. They don't apply, they're not, they can't marry broadly into the Kahal. A Mitzri can only marry a Mitzri, right? And the Isur Kunav Klau, only the problem for a Kohen, not for, right, Yisro. Ubito Psula, Afani Avieta Gersh, and over Kahal, again, that he can't marry in broadly into the Kahal. Ubito Psula, and his daughter should be also Psula. Right, so because a ger can't be replicated. Yeah, it's a narrow group of people who can be gerim because they have to come from a tipa psula. So they're not berova kahal. You have this mitzri who's also not berova kahal. He can't marry into the kahal. You have a kalal who can't marry into a portion of the kahal, which is the kohen. And in two of those instances, we know it's bito, it's psula lakuna. A mitzri shon produces a daughter who's a mitzri sheni. She can't marry into the kohanim. You have a kalal produces a daughter who can't marry kohanim. So certainly a ger should also, if he produces a daughter, should not be able to marry into the Kohenim. So Gemara says, Ma'atara Sivisha Behen, she came post-Slim B'Viatan. Wait a minute, maybe there's a difference between, right, or there's a Tzara Shavu between Chalal and Mitzri Rishon. What is that? That a Chalal and a Mitzri Rishon, their Bia right? Even outside of the context of marriage, will cause a problem for a woman, and she will no longer be able to, right, marry a kohen. Meaning that even outside the context of marriage, their bia in and of itself creates a klala. The woman herself becomes a klala, because if you have a, those are two that are psula, right, meaning that both a klala and a mitzri rishon, if they have bia with a woman, that woman now is precluded from marrying kohenim. That's not true of a ger, of a general ger, or of Yisrael in general. And if someone has bia with a woman, that doesn't necessarily preclude her from marrying a kohen afterwards. So when it says, Rabbi Yehuda, ger nami posel bibiyato, that's exactly what I say. That a ger is also posel bibiyato, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda believes, that's why a ger zachar that has a daughter, right, is problematic, because the ger's bia is posel a woman. That's what he says, that it would be posel. And that's how he learns it out. He brings out the Me'at Zad or the Tzadish of it from this Deen, this Kal V'Chomer, because he sees now all of them on the, at the, I mean, in the end, they're all the same. All of them are in a Barova Kal. They don't apply broadly to the whole Kal. Number two is that each one of them has the ability to post-sell a woman with his Bia. And therefore, the Bito, the product of that marriage, that Bito is also Psulach, will be problematic for the Kohen. Alright, now, the next Gemara is going to discuss all these opinions, and we're going to have four opinions as to what the status of a Gioret Ger is. So, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omar, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Gioret Chuta Mibat Shloshanim B'Yom Echad Kshira L'Kuna. This is what we saw before, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai believes that a Gioret under the age of 3 years in one day, her B'Tulim come back, and therefore she's no longer a problem for a Kohen to marry a Gioret. That by the battle with Midian, it says that you can keep all the toddlers, right? All the women, toddlers you can keep. Pinchas went out, he led the battle. Pinchas is one of the people in the army, and it says that you're allowed to keep these women for yourself. So that would imply that Pinchas was able to take one of these women. Doesn't mean you can necessarily marry them, it means keep them to work for you, to be your avadim. Kulan mikrach adarshu. They all learn out one pasuk. All these different opinions. What are these? Almana ugrusha lo yikachulahem lo yikulahem lenashim kim betulot mizera beit Yisrael. They should not take an almana ugrusha for women except for a betula. Rabbi Yehuda savar ad it kol zera mi Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says until the entire product is a product of a Israeli's marriage, right, then the daughter or the offspring of this marriage will be problematic. So, what does that mean? When you say kol zera, who's the ikar zera? The ikar zera is the father. Right, so that if the father is a ger, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the daughter that's born is problematic. That's what we just saw. We just saw Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the product is bitu psula. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov sabar mi zera, vafilu mikta zera. Right, even mikta zera means even the weaker form of zera, which is the woman, right? Because she's not usually the one who passes on yichud. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Adi zera mi kol zera mi Yisrael," that you need the total zera to be Yisrael. That means that the father is as a zachar is if the father is a ger and the mother is Israeli, it presents a problem. Well, as a miyakol zera mi zera v'afilu mikta zera, as long as a portion of the zera is Mizrael, that'll be sufficient to produce a mitok shira l'kuna, meaning that both, even if the mother or the father is a Israel or Israeli, that'll be enough to produce a kosher baby. So, I mean, that's when you have
she's an older Gioret.
Right, yes. Even if she's an older Gioret, or even if, against what Rabbi Yehuda just said, which Rabbi Yehuda said that if you have a ger zachar with the Israeli, that's mitok sula, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to disagree. That if you have Israelis already, that clears up the problem. Rabbi Yosi Savar, Mishin Nizra'u B'Yisrael. Right, that they have to have Horata B'Kdusha. That she has to be, right, conceived B'Kdusha. As long as they are, right, married. Ger and Gioret. As long as they are now married and they produce the baby while they are already converted. No problem, then the Bitos Shira. As long as she's conceived once they were converted, there's no problem, the girl is Shira L'Kuna. That her betulim have to be created while she is a Israeli. Meaning that her betulim have to be completed. So that even up to the age of 3, right, a gioret will still be Sheira Lekunan. Of course, certainly if she's born, right, is a Jew, then it's not going to be a problem. So I'm a layer of Nachman the Rovo. Right, this pasuk that we quoted from Yechezkel, I call Reisha Bekoin Gadol, Mesefa Bekoin Hedjot. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about a Kohen Gadol, and the Mesefa is talking about a Kohen Hedjot. Why? Because what the Reisha says, which is what we quoted before, the Reisha says over here, Almano Grushaloi Chulahem and Hashim Kim Tulot Mizer Beit Hedjot. That's clearly referring to a Kohen Gadol, so who's restricted from marrying an Almanah? Only the Kohen Gadol. And who's required to take a Betulah? That is the Kohen Gadol. That part of the pasuk is clearly talking about a Kohen Gadol. The second half of the pasuk, right, is talking about a Kohen Hedjot. Rashi says, what's the second half of the pasuk? It says, in the second half, Be'ahalmana, Asher Ti Almana Mi Kohen, Yechu. Right, or Yitaku. That the Almana, that will be an Almana from a Kohen, they're allowed to marry. Now, who's allowed to marry an Almana?
Only
a Kohen Hedjot. And it says, only the Almana of another Kohen may they marry. So now, that second half of the pasuk.
But we don't put
the psak isn't like this. No, the psak is, we have to explain the pasuk. That's what we're going to do. The Gemara is going to explain the pasuk. But the, right, the almanah. Right, so the second half of the pasuk must be talking about a Kohen Hedjot. Tosfos brings an alternative shot, which he then rejects, and then learns like Rashi. So the first half of the pasuk is clearly talking about a Kohen Gadol, because it's a restriction against marrying an almanah. Second half of the pasuk is talking about a Kohen Hedjot, because it says you're permitted to marry an almanah. So a pasuk that's split in half. So it says, almanah in. So he says, that's right, the pasuk is split. The first half is going to go, the second half. Says, because of krahachi, he said, is there really such a thing? Do we see psukim like that, where you have one half of the pasuk, the subject switches in the middle of the pasuk without telling you? Says, I'm going to I'll give you an example, the ktiv. V'ner lukim, terem, yichabeh, u'shmo shokhev, be'yichal Hashem. Right, so this is in the beginning of Shmuel, right, where Shmuel comes up to live with Eli in the Mishkan, and it says that Shmuel goes to sleep before the menorah goes out. So the Gemara says, "V'alo ein yeshiva be'azara le'malchei beit David bilvav." Wait, if Shmuel is sleeping in the Heichal Hashem, how could it be that he's laying down in the Heichal Hashem, or even sitting in the Heichal Hashem? Only Malchus Beit David are permitted to sit in the Azara. So where's Shmuel coming off sleeping in the Azara? Elo, you have to read the pasuk is Ner Elokim Terem Yichabeh Be'Heichal Hashem, that the Heichal Hashem is modifying only the Ner Elokim Terem Yichabeh, that before the candle blew out, where's the menorah? The menorah is in the Heichal. So before that blew out, Ushmuel Shochei Bimkomo. And Shmuel is sleeping wherever he is sleeping. So you see that in the middle of the pasuk, right, without telling you, there's a switch that talks about where the, right, over here, see, where the placement is. But you see, nevertheless, even though it switches in the middle of the pasuk, it doesn't identify you for the fact that it's switching from Eichal Hashem to Shmuel, who's in Bimkoma. So now, the question that David asked, the Almanah, Asher Tiyeh Almanah Mikoein Yikachu, right, so Mikoein Mitrovo, what do you mean? How can a Kohen Hedjot can marry an Almanah? They can marry any Almanah. Who says they can only marry Almanot from Kohani? How do you explain that pasuk in Yecheskel? The problem is in Yecheskel. Right, so that's part of the, if you remember, the Gemara Pesachim discusses that they want it to be Gonei, Sefer Yecheskel, because it had in it dinim that, right, seemed to contradict the Torah. This is one of them. Another din is that Kohanim are not allowed to eat Nevela. So the Gemara says, why only Kohanim are not allowed to eat Nevela? Yisrael can't eat a Nevela. So then the Gemara Pesachim says that the man took 300 barrels of oil, went up to Aliyah, and he darshaned all these psukim and cheskel to explain them how they don't, right, create or are not a stira to the Torah, and therefore they were not gonez sefer yecheskel. So like, for instance, by Nevelah, it says that the Kohanim are more exposed to Nevelah because they're in the Mikdash eating meat and carbonates all the time. Therefore, there's an extra restriction against don't eat Nevelah because they're always in the context of Nevelah. How do we explain this pasuk? The Gemara is going to explain right now. What does it mean? Haki kamar. Mekohen yikachu, mishar kohenim. What does it mean, Kohen Yikachu? Mishar Kohanim Yikachu. Not that Mi Kohen, meaning that it's an Almanah produced from a Kohen, but rather, other Kohanim may take such a woman. Right, so that's, what does it mean? The Almanah. Asher Tiyeh Almanah. Right, a woman who is an Almanah. Mi Kohen Yikachu. Mi Kohen means, Shar Kohanim may take her. Not the Kohen Gadol, but other Kohanim may take her. Not that Almanah Mi Kohen is the noun phrase. an almana of a product of a kohen, that's the one they may marry. But almana is the end of the statement, and then the kohenic couple tells you who can marry such an almana. That's the one explanation of it. That other kohenim may marry such an almana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda explains it like this: min hamisiin the kohenah yikachu. Right, that those that can marry the kohenah, then you can take them. Rabbi Yehuda says, "What does that mean?" Rabbi Yehuda is like, "It's reason. Amar bat ger zachar ke bat chalal zachar. The daughter of a ger zachar is a problem. Why? Kosha atan nose bito, atan nose amanuto. If you can marry his daughter, then you can marry his right widow. Kosha atan nose bito, atan nose amanuto. Whoever, if you can't marry his daughter, then you can't marry his almana. So that's what it means in the pasuk. Almana asher ti almana." Meaning that if he would be permitted, meaning the product of their marriage would be permissible to a kohen, then you can marry his almana, then you can marry his widow. If their product or their offspring, right, is not valid for a kohen to marry, then you may not marry his almana. So the mikohen ikachu is not modifying again almana, it's modifying the offspring of such a marriage. And if they can be taken by the Kohen, then they can, right, also marry the Amana of such a woman. So again, those two reconcile this pasuk with our pasuk in the Torah, which is that a Kohen Gadol can marry an Amana. We explain the pasuk in Yechezkel one of two ways. Either to say that, truthfully, it means Kohen Gadol can take an Amana, which, right, or we say that, no, that it's explaining which type of Amana can a Kohen take, the one that he is permitted to marry the daughter of such a marriage, and he can marry such an Amana. Alright, so now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, af ger she nasa giyoret, that bitok shira. That even a ger that marries a giyoret, their offspring is shira le kihuna. So Amar Rabbuna mishmei du'ula, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that a product of such a marriage is shira le kihuna. Bechen Amar Rabbi Bechana, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Umayom shechar beit ha-mikdash, nahal gu kohanim tilsu be'atman. The time the beit ha-mikdash was destroyed, the kohanim were nohag an additional level of chumran yichus on themselves. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, which is that as long as one of the two parents is from Israel, no problem. But if they're a ger and a giyoret, that a kohen won't marry such an offspring. So again, that's just a chumrah, not the ikar hadin. Now Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Balim Lach, Morim Lach, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. If he comes to Chatzkilas, ask us for a psak halacha, we'll tell him, like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, don't marry the child of a ger and a giyoret. Nosa, if he's already married to such a woman, in Mitzino, so Mimeno to Rabbi Yossi. We don't make him divorce her like Rabbi Yossi, because Ikar Lach was like Rabbi Yossi. So if he comes to ask, if he's already done, right, with it, and married to such a woman, then we don't say divorce her. But if he's come to ask the Tzatzkila, we say, Binoi Tachumra, like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Alright, now, next Mishnah. Homer Benizze Mamzer, Eno Ne'eman. He says, my child, this child of mine is a mamzer, he's not believed. Va'afilu shnehem, modim, or both of them say, right, that, ala ubar shemeh mamzerhu, enam ne'emanim. Even the mother and the father agree that this child is a mamzer, they are not believed. That's what it means, afilu. And, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ne'emanim, they do have a ne'emanus in this instance. My afilu shnehem.
What's it, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ne'emanim?
They're believed that he is a mamzer.
The Mishnah says one case?
It's two cases, and that's a good question. It seems like, and probably the Gemara discussed it, but it's because of probably the story is in both cases. My v'afilu shnehem. So what do you need? I mean, what do you need to tell me that? So it says, lo mi bai, Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. Lo mi bai. Lo mi bai yihu to lo kimle. Number one, even he's not believed because he doesn't know. I mean, the man can only speculate that there's a mom there. He can't tell you for sure that there's a mom there. Right? El afilu yihi, the kimla. She knows who she conceived him or who she had to be with. Lo mehemna. Nevertheless, she is not believed. Even in the first case where the baby's already born and had to test this kashrus, there we say the father can't come along. But, and there is lo mehemna. El afilu ubar. When it's an ubar where it never had a test kashrus, so the baby's never born. Nami, there's the test kashrus. Lo mehemna. Still in that case, they're not believed to be posel, right? The baby. Why? Because they're croaking. They crow them to the baby, they don't have a right to be posel. They don't have any amonos in this case. They're trying to bring edus. You need full-fledged edus to be posel. And the only way to get full-fledged edus is by having non-crobim come and testify.
She's Mishima's
Rasha. Right. But we could there say Pagin and Dibura. But nevertheless, we're not believed over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nemani. So here you'll see that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with both cases. Why? It says, Tanya. Yakir, Yakirenu Le'achirim. Right, so you already had this earlier, that the father has the right to be, identify his child as the Bechor. So Mikanam Rabbi Yehuda Neman Adam Lamar Zebni Bechor. That I have the person has the ability to identify which of his children is the Bechor. Ukshem Shneman Adam Lamar Zebni Bechor, Kach Neman Adam Lamar Zeb Gusha, Zeb Ben Chalutza. So do we believe to say what that he's a Ben Gusha, Uben Chalutza? So again, we discussed earlier, why is it? You know, meaning, what's the reason that he's also believed by Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza? And he brought down the explanation of Rav Shlomo that explained that the Yakir over here is in the context of a Tnua and Ahuva. And in the case of Tnua and Ahuva, we know it was a Nisu'in that was inappropriate, right? And assumed that was appropriate. And here he's being Yakir, let's say, lo, peach night. So he's being Makir over here. He's saying which is the Bechor and which is the inappropriate marriage. So he's pointing out which is the Tnua as well as which is the Bechor. So he's said that Yakir is modifying both the Nisu'in that are Tnu'in and the Bechor over here. That's how he's able to identify both the fact that he's a Bechor and also that he's a Ben Kusha and Ben Chalusa. Bechor Yomim, Eino Neman. He's not believed. Some of the Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rabba, Bishlam of the Rabbi Yudani Tichtiv Yakir. That's the whole point of the word Yakir. The word Yakir comes to teach me
that he has
this ability. I mean, that his believability extends not only to Bechor, but also beyond Bechor to Ben Kusha and Ben Chalusa. Rabban and Yakir Lomali. What do I need Yakir by a Bechor? So tell me this. Why? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Okay, he needs Yakir because, say they showed up. He came from overseas. He comes with the child and he says, this is my Bechor. Nobody else knows that. So now he can identify the child. The Gemara says, my Hokusa. What's the difference if a child is a Bechor or not a Bechor? The only difference is, let's say so, Pishnayim, that he gets a double portion in his possession. The Gemara says, Pshita, Lomalikra. Why do I need a Pusik to tell me that a person is Naman, to tell me that his son is a Bechor and he'll get two double portion? Why? Migo. It's a Migo over here. The Ibai Metzvale Batana, Milo Yagule. Right? So he said, but can't he give him, a father has the ability to give his possessions to anybody he wants while he's still alive. So if he's standing here at this moment, he tells us, this is my Bechor, he'll inherit twice as much in the Yerusha, he has the ability at this moment just to hand him the whole double portion right now on the spot and give it to him. So once he gives it to him, why can't he believe that he's the Bechor and then he'll accept the double portion? Right, says, well, that's not a problem, right? Right, these are two possessions that after he identifies for us this is the Bechor, right, that has implications for the possessions or property that fall afterwards. I mean, you're right. He could have, until this point, he could have gifted everything, right, that was there and say, here's your double portion. So that's fine because that stuff all exists, number one. And number two is, he is amigo. But if you say about stuff that he's going to receive in the future, once he's identified him as a Bechor, then even the stuff that comes in the future, he will get a double portion. And yes, we don't have the Migo at this moment, when he takes that identity of the Bechor known, the Migo doesn't exist, that he can gift it because it doesn't exist yet. It's not here. The Gemara says, so that's what you need the Yakir for. Ula Rabbi Meir, Damar, Adam Makneh, Davar Shelo Balulam. Wait a minute. But we have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has the opinion that you can be Makneh, something that does not exist yet. So in that case, what? When he identifies him as the Bechor, he could also do the exact same thing without identifying him as the Bechor. He can gift all double my possessions. All my possessions I give to him, a double portion. Possessions that I have now, and possessions that I will acquire in the future, because the Remeir allows for such a kinyan to take place. So according to the Remeir, what's the point of identifying a Bechor? It has no halachic implications to identify a Bechor, because his nemanus comes from a migo, and you don't need a pasuk to give him nemanus. Mar says, Yakir Lamali, what do I need for? Shinaplu lo kashu goseis. The possessions came to him when he is a goseis. He's on his deathbed. Why does that make a difference when he's on his deathbed?
Then he can't be Makneh.
Right, so there he can't be Makneh anymore because, right, he no longer has the ability to hand over anything to the Bechor. Right, so first, now, what we'll have to do is one thing, after death, right, why don't you say that it's after death? After he dies, right, then the Bechor will get a double portion of stuff because he's not alive anymore. That we know is not true because the Gemara Batzim that Beroi B'Mukhsak we don't get. I mean that you have the only possession that a Bechor gets a double portion is stuff that's owned by the father at the time, moment of death. Anything that comes into his possession after death, the Bechor is equally split with the other children. So after death is not an option to explain over here. So it must be prior to death. So what's the case over here? Right? The case over here is that when he is a goset, right? Once he is a goset, that the netina of a goset doesn't have any value, meaning that it doesn't have, he doesn't have the ability to give. Since he doesn't have the ability to give, then he doesn't have the miko. Because if he can't give, then we don't have the miko. And the only way now he can give or identify this person as a bechor is to say that yakir bo. That he identifies the child as a bechor, and that's how he gets at him. So it sounds from Rashi, this is Rashi's explanation, that the netina of a goset is ein klum. That the action of a goset is meaningless. It's not, it doesn't work at all. The Tosfos disagrees, and he brings down a number of cases in the Gemara that we see that the netina of a goset does have effect. That we're able to do this. Tosfos says this, that the goset, the things of a goset, the dvarav of a goset are kamenim, that the dvarav of a goset are kayamim, and that the reason over here is that it doesn't work over here, it's because sam goset ain't yochal b'daber. That a sam goset can't be.
If he's able to do that, he's not really a
grocery. Right, very good. Right. So Shchim Meira, who has the ability to say Amiratoki Mitzirato Dami, so if he can speak still, then he has amigo. The problem is that once he reaches the state of ghostes and he can no longer speak, so now he loses his ability to generate the amigo. So his identity or identifying of the Bechor will help for those possessions that come into his possession while he's a ghostes. Right, I mean, during that period of time, those possessions will be, the amigo is gone. Since the amigo's gone, right, those possessions that come in at that point will also be, go to the Bechor in a double portion, because of the pasuk of Yakir Lo, right, T. Shnai. Right, so again, Rashi says the problem with the goseis is that the goseis is the barba zenu kamayim, Tosu says it there. Reformulates it and says that the barba goseis are kayamim, it's only that he can't speak. If he can't speak, then we can't have the barba kayamim, because there are no divarab. But technically, if he could get the barba out, they would be kayamim. Okay, we'll stop over here.